Good morning, church. You may be seated. Excited to be here today. I'm excited to be here today. It hadn't been too long since I was here last, but a lot has happened since I was here last. But I'm glad I'm here and standing. Amen. So we just started March of 2024. Can you believe it? We're already in March of 2024. It's going too fast. But hey, just a reminder, this is for free. Super Tuesday is Tuesday. So vote and pray and vote. Pray and vote, amen? Because if you don't vote, I don't want to hear you griping. That's the rule. That's the rule in my house anyway. Can't gripe about things if you're not going to vote. And you shouldn't gripe about things if you do vote, right? Amen? You should probably pray. Really, Jesus is our only hope. If you have your hope in someone on that ballot, your hope is in the wrong person anyway, okay? Jesus is the only hope for this country. He's the only hope for you. He's the only hope we all have. And until we get our eyes on Jesus and we get it off of a person, this country's not going to turn around anyway. All right, so that was for free. So March, we're in March, and our theme for this month is victory. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, you know what, March, we're going to march into victory this month. We got to march into victory. We got to gather up our weapons. This church is a church of victory, Victory Center. You know, it's our vision of this church. It's the mission statement that we want to empower the people that come to say, hey, you can walk in victory. You can do these things. I mean, those things are kind of nice to think, oh, I'd like my life to be so great and I don't have to have anxiety and I don't have to have sickness and all that stuff. But a lot of times it's just words. Hey, we want, there's a place of victory, and we want to help you get there. I want to be there, and I want to take you with you, with me. So, but to do that, you know, sometimes when you're getting ready to go out to battle, the general gets up, or if you're getting ready to play a championship game, the coach gives up, or whatever, and they give you a speech. Well, I want this to be your speech today. I'm going to give you a victory speech. And by doing that, I'm going to bring you way back. Way back. Because some of you are new to the faith, but there's some of you here who have been saved for as long as you can remember. And that may be 80 years. It may be 50 years or 40 years or 10 years or however long it is. Let's go back to the basics. I don't care what avenue you're in. If you're in sports or any kind of performance arena, if you leave the basics, you're in trouble. So even the experts go back to the basics every now and then. So I want to get back to a basic principle that those of you who have been in it, you're going to think, well, she's going to talk about salvation. Yes, I am. And you know what? I don't care how old you are. You need to revisit that because I think sometimes we actually forget. And you know what? I know this is a word from the Lord this morning. I know it is a word from you because I couldn't have picked the songs any better than if I did it myself. I couldn't have texted Joe and said, hey, Joe, I'm going to preach on salvation by grace today. Could you please pick, let's see, Amazing Grace and maybe Champion and Reckless Love. I didn't do that today, but he listened to the Holy Spirit and he did it. And I'm just like, Lord, that's amazing. He listened because it is amazing, the grace. I mean, those songs, I told my brothers here today, he said, are you ready? Do you got your sermon ready? I said, nah. Of course, we kind of tease each other. I said, I usually get it during this song service. And I was like, whoa, I really did get it through the song service. But it is amazing grace. Salvation, let's talk about that. How many of you here have been good enough to get to heaven? Let me see your hands. Well, I think some of us forget that, especially those of us who have been in it a while, because we know some of the things we do to walk in victory. And then we turn to those who haven't been in the faith and we think, yes, salvation is free, but you need to do this. Oh, there we go, do works. We have to remember, we didn't deserve to be here. So, I won't pull this one up because everybody probably knows this. Romans 3:23 says we all have sinned and come short of the glory. We all need saving. Every one of us. Every one of us. Let me see this. I am going to look up James 2:10. While we're looking it up, I've got a new love and I want to share with you. Because if you've never read, you know, I'm a teacher. I like to teach math, believe it or not. But what I really love is to take someone who doesn't know anything, whether it's math or a cartwheel, and teach them how to do it by little simple things, like turning something into something and saying it in such a way that they can understand. So I love simple. I love simple. Whether it's cooking or anything, I love simple. I love to understand. And you know what the best version of the Bible is? Nope. The one that you read is the best version of the Bible. The one you read. Now, some of the older generation, King James works for you, and I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I've never, ever, ever been a King James girl. That's why any time I've ever got up here and preached, I've only referenced because I'm like, I'm not going to read that. I don't want to read these and thous and whatever, whatever. I want the person I'm talking to understand what I'm saying, and we don't use these and thous. So the best version of the Bible is the one you read, but I found my new favorite, and it's the Passion. And so I was just studying the Word, and I've always done it on my phone, but I got me a new one right after Christmas. And I'll go down and I'll study and I'll go, oh, that is so good. And I've got everything highlighted. And then I'll go, well, maybe I should read the chapter before it or the chapter after. And then by the time I've got a whole book read, and it's just like so new, even though I've known it for years upon years upon years, but it's just like put in words that I understand. So if you want to get a new revelation of the Word, just try it. But the one you read is the best. There's all kinds out there. So, James, chapter, where did we go? 2, verse 10. And it says, for the one who attempts to keep all the law of Moses, but fails in just one point, has become guilty of breaking the law in every respect. Okay, so that covers everybody. You know, in the Old Testament, in Leviticus and Numbers, they had all these laws that they had to do. All of them. 613, I think. But let me tell you something. If you could do 612, but couldn't do that 613th one, you're guilty. You are guilty. And guess what? The wages of sin are death. The law was there not to be done away with, but to be a flashlight and say, listen, here's my standard. Here's the law. If you do this, you can come into my presence without being burnt because I'm a holy God. See, there's protocol. The law was there to protect us because we couldn't just march into his presence without being consumed. So the law is there to say, that's my standard. And then it also shines a light on us to go, I can't meet it. Ah, I can't do it. I messed up. Well, guess what? Jesus came. He fulfill the law. I love that champion song. His victory is now mine. I won the battle. How many of you guys like those, you know, Brad, my brother, also loves to come here. What does he always tell you? He's a class of 86 Tiger. Well, I'm going to one-up him. Because I'm class of 88 Tigers, Diamond Tigers. And guess what? I won the state championship in football that year. Absolutely, I did it. They had I don't know what year reunion, like 20th or 30th, or I'm dating myself a long, long time ago. They had a reunion was it 2 years ago or 1 year ago or whatever? But they invited all the football players. And they had this great ceremony. Wait a minute. I want to come. I was part of the team. Yoo-hoo. I was a cheerleader. I was part of the team. Guess what? Their victory became my victory. And all I did was out on the sidelines and yell, go, touchdown, touchdown. Whatever. You know, it's my victory. Jesus won that victory. But guess what? It's not ours. He fulfilled the law. And now because of that, if we accept it, we can boldly come into the presence of God to find grace, to help in our time of need. He's our victory. He's our champion. It's for free. Salvation is for free. I don't know about you, but I'm a little leery of free gifts on the internet the other day. You know, even a reputable like Sam's, I did some kind of survey, and they said, you have now qualified for this free gift. And you go through and you pick all your free gifts, but at the end, they want your credit card number because, you have to pay shipping and handling. It's not quite free, and then you're a little leery. I don't know about you, but I'm a little leery of free gifts. But this gift really is free. It's free. He paid it. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. Perfection couldn't earn it. You can do nothing but receive it. Oh, this is how you receive a free gift. This is not how you receive a free gift. You just receive it. You receive the free gift of salvation. So there's three things that happen when you receive it. I'm just going to go kind of quick. You receive salvation. And this is what happens. You receive the free gift. And then what's next is going to determine your outcome. So, number one, nothing can happen. Absolutely. So, three things that happen. Number one of them is nothing happens. Those are the ones that they get saved and nothing changes. It's like getting married. And you take that person's last name, but you don't go live with them. And you never talk to them. You never have fellowship with them. You actually continue sleeping with whoever you feel like sleeping with. You go wherever you want to go. But if someone comes and says, hey, aren't you married to Mick Simpson? And you go, oh, yeah. But you know, I might see him every now and then, twice a year. Twice a year. That's the nothing happens. There was no heart change. They might have, I like to call those people, they have their white robe, they're going to heaven, but they don't have a clue. You know what? They don't know what their gift is. It's like you receive the gift in the mail and you kind of received it, but then you just set it in the closet and you didn't do anything with it. What you didn't know was that gift was like $1 million sitting there for you to use however you wanted to use it. But you're like, stuffed it in your closet. So that's one of the choices you get to make. So, whoops, there's my glasses. Go ahead and pull up Galatians 5:1. Because you get to choose, actually. It says, am I in the right one? Okay, I'm going to read it for mine. At last we have freedom, for Christ has set us free. We must always cherish this truth and firmly. Why is that different than mine? Let me be clear, the anointing has set us free, no partially, but completely and wonderfully free. We must always cherish this truth and stubbornly refuse to go back into the bondage of our past. Okay, so that's what I'm talking about. Once you receive that gift, you need to cherish it, hold it, and say, okay, you know what? I'm not going to be slave to my past, to that sin anymore. Bottom line, people say, oh, I'm not a slave. You're either a slave to sin or a slave to yourself. You're going to live the self life Galatians talks about in the fifth chapter. You're going to serve a master. We were born, we were created to serve. And you go, I'm not going to serve anybody. Oh, yes, you are. You're serve yourself or you're going to serve the enemy. You in serving yourself serves his purposes. So don't go, but you will be in bondage. You have to choose. You get to choose. So don't choose nothing. The next one is one of two things that are kind of intertwined. So once you get saved, you can either go into relationship or you can go into performance. And sometimes you catch yourself being in relationship and then moving into performance. You might have started. So that's why today is so important. We're going to remind ourselves, wait a minute, I'm not in performance mode. I don't want to be in performance mode. I want to be in relationship mode. You know, the same thing when you're married or in a relationship with any kind. If you get married and you're in a relationship or performance mode, you're going to make sure you have breakfast. Make sure you have lunch. I'm talking from the wife standpoint usually. Have every meal just the way he likes it. Make sure the toilet paper roll is faced. I actually forgot which way he likes. Make sure his toothpaste is just the right, you know, from the middle or the end or whatever. Everything is just right. His socks are folded just how he likes it. Okay, I can do that. See, this is the deal. Relationship mode and performance mode on the outside look exactly the same. They look exactly the same. I can make sure I have his needs met in every area and do exactly what he wants me to do. And on the outside, that's exactly what happens. Or I can do those things because I just love him. I want to be near him. I want to please him. I want to please him not because I'm afraid of his reaction. I want to please him because he's so good. See the difference? So when you're saved, I think those of us who've been either married a long time or saved a long time, we forget. We forget, hey, let's go back. Why am I doing this? Why do I go to church when I don't feel like going to church? Why do I pray? Why do I read the Bible? Is it because I'm trying to perform? You have to do this. You have to do this. Or it's because, oh, I just want to know. I want to be close. I want to be close to him. Guess what? The closer you get, and this is a whole different sermon, the closer you get to his presence, the more you see your imperfections. And you can either back up, because that's scary. Seeing your imperfections are scary, or you can press in. Oh, it hurts. Surgery hurts, people. Trust me. Coming out of surgery hurts. But, oh, the difference it makes when you just lay yourself out and say, okay, do what you need to do and get it out. Okay, so that was for fun and for free because that wasn't in my notes. So we're talking about performance. And I want you to remember this because, you know, we've never baptized more people than we ever have, ever, in this church, I think. I think we're on a new, just because I think we're realizing, you know, baptism is a tenet of the faith. It's something outwardly you do. But those of us who have been here so long, we think, I mean, I wish we could have little signs on us that tell everybody our sins, right? Because there's some sins that are so easy to see. I mean, sins, and everybody out here has a sin that you deem is worse than another sin. I mean, if you came in here and we said, I'm a pedophile, or I am an adulterer, or I'm a liar, or I'm a thief, I'm a drunkard, I'm an addict, I'm a homosexual. I mean, all these things. You know that reckless love we were singing about? Jesus saw those sins on you. No one else can. But he saw those sins on you, and the Father didn't go, oh, Jesus, I need you to die for everyone but that person over there, because that's just, your blood's not going to cover it. It's just too much. I mean, think how absurd that is. But sometimes we need to hear it out of our mouth. Really? His blood's not enough? Is his blood enough to cover that sin of yours? Okay, so before you go looking on the other person who's getting baptized and you go, oh, I know that person, they're such and such, and they did this and this and this and this. I can't believe they're getting baptized. Hey, news release. That's why you get baptized. Okay? That is literally why you get baptized. When you go under the water, that person's dead. That person that did those sins are dead, and you get to be resurrected with Jesus into his new life, and now that victory is now yours, and you get to be the champion, that you can walk into his presence as though I never sinned. Hey, this is the good news. It is good news. You know why? Because you can't earn it. Get out of your performance mode. Get out of it. Those of you who have been in the faith, get out of your performance mode. We've been doing these good works for a long time. I have been doing these good works for a long time. Number one, because I love the Lord. But you know how we are. You know how we are. And if you've been taught in your homes that you do things because you ought to do them, not because you feel like it, then we kind of bring that into our Christianity too. I'm not bashing that, because that is absolutely a good principle. I mean, we have kids today. I don't feel like going to school today. Okay, you don't have to. You do things because you should do them. This is a mom talking. You do things because, for crying out loud, you're supposed to do them. Who cares what you feel like? But we kind of, yeah, see, the older people are like, amen, preach it, preach it, preach it. The younger kids are going, aw, really? Well, so some of that we've brought into the Christian life, and we think, which is absolutely true, now hear me, we think that we walk the Christian life without feelings. Whether we feel like it or not, we're going to go to church. Amen. Whether we feel like it or not, we're going to read our Bible. Whether we feel like it or not, we're going to pray. Those are absolutely things that we need to do. But let me tell you something. When you take that step without feelings, the feelings come. It doesn't mean you're led by your feelings. You know, you have, God gave us feelings. God gave us emotions to have. There are feelings. When you're hurt, you're hurt. Those are your feelings. But you have to decide, okay, am I going to be led by those feelings, or am I going to make my feelings follow me? Because absolutely they will. So you may not feel like doing these works, and you may be in that part of your walk with the Lord that you find yourself just doing the works and there's no feelings. So that's where in Revelations comes. Let's go ahead and bring that up. I'm kind of jumping around, Larry. Revelations 2, 1 through 7. I'm going to go ahead and read it all. Love the passion. This is John, right? He's writing, he's on the Isle of Patmos, and he's writing the letters to the churches. And he's writing to Ephesus, which I just had read Ephesians. Ephesians is awesome in the TPT. He says, I know all that you've done for me. This is the letter he's writing. You have worked hard and persevered. Okay, he could be talking to Victory Center Church right now. He goes, I know all you've done. You guys are amazing. He's saying, Victory Center Church, you guys are amazing. You've gone through so much. You learned the word. You've persevered, especially these last 2 years. And I know you don't tolerate evil. We don't do that here. And you've tested those who claim to be apostles and proved that they're not, for they were imposters. I also know how you have bravely endured trials and persecutions because of Jesus' name. We've done that here. Boy, he's talking to us. And yet, we haven't been discouraged. Whew, he's telling us some good things. He goes, but I have this against you. You have abandoned the passionate love you had for me at the beginning. See, sometimes we forget. Those of us who have been in the faith, we watch these new babies come in and we forget. We forget we needed to be saved. Remember when you weren't doing good works, and remember you didn't deserve to be saved? See, those of us who have been walking, hey, we're pretty good, right? I mean, we shouldn't be sinning as much as we used to sin. We don't talk bad as much as we used to. I mean, if you're walking with the Lord, you should be changing, right? Well, what happens is you change, you forget. You forget, oh, these little, they're babies. They don't do everything just right. And then we immediately, what is that? Especially those of us who are moms or dads, we're like, okay, you're saved, now do. No. Let's get out of the performance thing, okay? Get into relationship. I promise you, if you can remember your relationship with the Lord, if you can mentor these babies getting into relationship with the Lord, he will take care of those things that they're sinning. He will take care of it, okay? I was talking to one of my sons, and I said, oh, we have such and such, such. He goes, so, well, aren't you glad the Holy Spirit can convict way better than you can? I mean, because, you know, the natural tendency of us, those of us who have been in the church want to go say, hey, by the way, you just aren't living just right. And it may be true. It absolutely is true. There are things that we do in our life that are going to have consequences. But you know what? When you're in relationship with the Father, when the Son and the Holy Spirit's walking, you're walking hand in hand with the Holy Spirit, and you go to do a sin that's going to be detrimental to your physical health, your mental health, or whatever, he will absolutely go, "Hun, don't do that. Come with me. Go with me. I got your best life is with me. Your best life is with the Lord, walking hand in hand." But what happens is, just like little Ev, little Isabella, these little kids, everywhere they go hand in hand. But you know what? I got six kids, and they're all taller than me, and almost all of them are married. And you know what would be weird? If everywhere I went, I held their hand. See, that's what happens. That's what happens. We grow, we mature in the Lord. We drop his hand. We drop his hand because we're pretty wise now. We can walk on our own. We think, and then we forget we need him. We forget we've done it in our own strength so much. We're so wise. I mean, you give me an algebra paper, I'm like, I don't need anybody to help me. I got this. Hey, why would I even try if I have the answer book right there? Lord, help me. You know what? When I take my own strength, I'm here, and I could always be here. But when I rely on the Lord, I'm always here. The problem is some of you have been walking in life right here in your own strength because you think that's as high as you need to go. We always need him. We can't be perfect. We can't walk this life. You know, there are times in your life, this church talks about walking in love and forgiveness all the time. You absolutely need to do that. But you know, there are times in your life, someone could be telling you, you have to forgive. You have to forgive. You have to forgive. And you go, I'm like trying. I love the song this morning. Let all striving cease. You know what? There is a comes a time. You know what? When you're in prayer, quit faking it. He knows your heart anyway. That's what prayer is. You go say, Lord, I can't do this. I can't forgive this person. He knows that you can't anyway. He knows you can't do this on your own. You have to rely on him. You have to say, okay, Lord, I need your help. I need the supernatural work that you promised me in your word. You promised me. You said that you would give me the power to do this. I can't do it. It's a fruit of the Spirit. These things are supernatural. You can't have a fruit of the Spirit without having the Holy Spirit. You might can have some good works, but good works without Jesus is dead. Okay, I think I am just kind of, you know what? The Lord is doing absolutely what he needs to do here. Amen? You cannot earn it. I want to read Ephesians 2. And it's kind of long, but I love it. I might skip around. We'll see. And his fullness fills you, even though you were once like corpses, dead in your sin and offenses. You know that? You were like a corpse and dead in your sin and offenses. That's when he died for you. It wasn't that long ago that you lived in religion, customs, and values of this world, obeying the dark ruler of the earthly realm who fills the atmosphere with his authority and works diligently in the hearts of those who are disobedient to the truth of God. The corruption that was in us from birth was expressed through the deeds and desires of our self-life. We lived by whatever natural cravings and thoughts our minds dictated, living as rebellious children, subject to God's wrath like everyone else. You know that video we showed of Guatemala? Did you catch what he said? Those people took care of their gods. Every religion but Christianity takes care of their gods. They think they were born just to care for their gods. They have to do all these things. Christianity is different because he came to take care of us. Amen? But God still loved us with such a great love. He is so rich in compassion and mercy that even when we were dead and doomed in our many sins, he united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by his wonderful grace. You know, we throw around that word all the time, grace, grace, grace. We're saved by grace. We're grace. We did not deserve what God did for us. We did not deserve to be part of his family. In fact, by us coming into his family, we kind of tainted it because we weren't perfect. He loves us. We are his daughters. We are his sons. He raised us up. He not only made us part of his family, he said, all right, come up here. Come up here. Come up here to where I am. He raised us up with Christ and the exalted one, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm, for we are now co-seated as one with Christ. Okay, that, you know what? You go on the internet and you search that song, The Champion, that we sang this morning. Ooh, there is hate upon hate upon hate on that song. It's in Ephesians, right there. They're literally dissing the Word of God. He's our champion. He's the one who did it for us. He raised us up in authority we have that we didn't deserve. And this is what I really wanted to get. Throughout the coming ages, we will be the, we are. He's going to take this little worm that we are, and he's going to make something that you would not believe. We will be the visible display. When people see me, they're going to see the visible display. Who is that? She doesn't look like she used to. He literally will change your looks. When people see you, they start seeing the glory of God. And I don't care how ugly you think you are. When they start seeing you through the glory of God, you become beautiful. I used to tell the young girls, you know, when you have Jesus on your face, boys are attracted to you. Not because of how beautiful you are, but they see Jesus on you. The visible display of the infinite riches of his grace and kindness, which was showered upon us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved by faith. Nothing you did could ever earn this salvation. I don't care how good you are, you wouldn't have earned it. For it was the love gift from God that brought us to Christ. So no one will ever be able to boast, for salvation is never a reward for good works or human striving. Human striving, when we catch ourselves striving, oh, just striving, I'm trying to cast my cares, I'm trying to forgive. I'm striving, and I'm human striving, and guess what? I'm drowning. I am drowning because I can't do it. And I have to let go. And I have to say, Lord, I can't do this. We have become his poetry. I love that. I'm his poetry. And I'm recreated. And I will fulfill the destiny that he has given each of us. For we are joined to Jesus. You know whatever destiny Jesus has? That's mine now. God, even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works that we would do to fulfill it. You know, I love this analogy, and it is not my analogy yet. I don't know the lady who had it. But you know what? We have, when we get saved, it is a free gift. And we can either try to clean ourselves up after we get saved and get rid of all those sins, because they're there, they're stuck. Some of them are more stuck, like Sharpie markers on our clothes. They need just a little extra attention. We got to get them off. So we can either scrub and scrub and scrub and try to get ourselves clean, or we can just walk with the Lord, keep our eyes on him, and walk with him. And before long, we'll look around And our clothes are changed. And we're clean. And those baggage things have fallen off because we're taking on his nature. Amen? We're taking on his nature, and that's what we want to be. That's how we become the light. The more we walk with him, the more we look like him. Heaven. Problems. Amen. So I didn't finish Revelations 2, 1 through 7, because what it says at the very end of in verse 7, go ahead and put that up, Larry, 2. Keep going to the, oh, it says, Paul, I don't know if that's like different than mine. 5. Actually, there we go. 5. It says, think about how far you've fallen. All you have to do, not all these good works that John is telling him in Ephesians, he says, you've abandoned the passionate love you had for me at the beginning. Think about how far you've fallen. Sometimes those of us who've been in the faith need to remember, oh, I once needed Jesus to save me. I'm laughing because guess what? You still need him. You still need him just to walk this life, to see people the way he sees them. He says, repent and do the works of love that you did at first. I like to call that remember. Remember. Remember what he's done for us. Remember that it's not our doings. Remember that the things you do are to honor him and to follow him. And that's what we're going to do this morning with communion, is we're going to remember. That's what communion is. We're remembering what God, Christ, has done for us.